Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
I just ask God in the place. Can I pray? Father, we want to commit tonight into your hands. We haven't come to hear the words of man. We haven't come to gather around a man's opinion, but we've come to gather around you, Jesus, to sit at your feet. I pray for open hearts. Open hearts. May there be no walls, no barriers, nothing that stands between us and an encounter with you today. In your name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, a big hello to our English-speaking service up in Phnom Penh from our Myrie campus. Give them a big wave up there. Up there on that side of the camera over there. Brilliant. We love you guys, and we hope that you hang with us throughout this time. I think we should stand up and read the Word of God tonight. I think it's good to honor the Bible. Is that okay? To stand to your feet. I know you all just got comfortable, but this is not the night to get comfortable. Luke chapter 5, follow with me, 1 to 11. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the Word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Verse 4, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon. How do you know that sometimes when Jesus says he stops speaking, he's really going to speak? When he stops speaking, then he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. That's good news for every fisherman in the house. And their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they then began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him, all the other fishermen, were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. It takes a lot to surprise fishermen. Professional career fishermen, they've seen a lot. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, say, from now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook, they dropped, they left all and followed him. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise for that incredible passage of scripture? Grab your seat. Grab your seat. Tonight I want to speak to you on the thought, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? That's going to make so much more sense to you in just a moment. But I went to the dentist this week. Yeah, this Monday night, I went to the dentist after 17 years of not going to the dentist. Judge me if you like. That's fine. I'm cool with that. I'm happy to report after 17 years, he's really the dentist of my last 17 years. He actually come to this campus. In the last 4 years, I've been saying to him, I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come see you. Every 9 a.m. service, I avoid him because I just know I haven't booked in. But I booked in, and I went to the dentist, and he checked all my teeth out and did the full thing, x-rays, photos, and the whole thing. I am happy to report that my teeth are in fair condition. They are in fair condition. However, they were very dirty. It was 17 years of buildup. Plaque and bacteria and stuff like that, right? So my dentist, he said to me, PK, I don't have to put you in the chair, and I'm going to be quite brutal to you because it's 17 years of buildup, right? And I kid you not, I spat out so much blood into that sink. And I stayed in the chair. He said, you know, at any time, if it's too much for you, you can just tap out, say the safe word. Rubbish, my mouth was open. I couldn't say anything. So I just kept on lying in that chair and let him do what he wanted to do to clean me. And it was in that chair that the Lord actually spoke to me about the message I'm about to preach. Because my dentist, because of the neglect of the condition of my teeth, he had to hurt me in order to clean me.
He had to discomfort me in order to restore me to the way I should be. And sometimes when God wants to deal with us, He might have to hurt us first in order to clean us. And you know, this is off the back of conference, and I just said to the Lord, Lord, I would just love a really nice, comfortable, uplifting sermon. Because I'm preaching in my Amari campus for two weekends, right? You've had Debbie Prescott, who's just lovely and just pastoral and praise for your sickness and all of that. And you had Pastor Jonathan and Corey just blowing the place up. I just thought, Lord, I need a sermon just to win my congregation back to me. That'd be really great. And now He gives me like a sermon in the dentist chair. So I'm gonna invite you to participate in my pain, because I just know that God wants to do something incredible tonight. Is that okay? You know, I'm gonna speak on this passage of scripture, and I want to take you to this account where Simon Peter has gone about his daily routine. He's just fishing. He's just doing life, and Jesus shows up, and Jesus speaks to him and gives him a word. Maybe you were at conference, maybe in the last season where we've been about encountering Jesus, or maybe in through the prayer meetings, maybe just even across the course of the year, you've had God speak into your heart, stir something in your life, touch your heart, deposit something in you. The question for me is what are you going to do with that? Maybe God spoke to you about something pertaining to the condition of your heart, or maybe you encountered Jesus in a real way. The question is not whether you had a great encounter at conference. The question is the week after, what are you going to do with that? Sometimes we do feel like God is far away, and in the hustle and bustle of life, we actually can't hear His voice. And I've been in that place too, and I've talked to many different people through different seasons, and they feel like God is so distant, I can't hear His voice. To that, my response simply is this: if you want to hear somebody speak, you got to lean in. Particularly when there's a lot of ambient noise. Come on, are you out there? And also, if you're walking with somebody and you want to hear what they're saying, you got to keep up and walk beside them, not behind them. Come on, are you out there? However, there are times when God actually does speak. He touches your life. He's made the first step. He's filled you. He's challenged your heart. He's stirred your faith. The next step, however, is very crucial, because that step is up to us. And the question today is, what do we do with that? Jesus shows up at the shores of Galilee, and these fishermen were fishing, and these guys were just going about their daily routine, probably trying to pay the bills, trying to just do life and just doing their everyday. And in those days, fishermen were allocated a patch of fishing ground around the lake. And so there was an understanding amongst the fishing fraternity, if you like, that you weren't to fish in someone else's patch. It makes sense to you. And it's highly likely that Simon, who became Peter as he followed Jesus, was likely that he'd come from a long line of fishermen. Back in those days, if your father was a carpenter, you became a carpenter. Makes sense. So he probably came from a long line of fishermen and understood that patch of lake. He would have known nothing else in life. He would have known every drop off. He would have known the times and the seasons, the best times to fish, when the fish would congregate, and all of those sorts of things. He was a professional fisherman. And here he is in this place in life where he has done everything that he knows how in all of his experience as a man who earns his living from fishing. He's in a season where even though he's toiled, he's got not much to show for it. How many of you have been in a season in your life where you feel like you've done the very best that you know how to get your marriage back on track, to get your career up and running, to get that business into a profitable place, to raise your kids, or whatever it is, where you've invested so much of your time, your talents, your energy, but you don't have much to show for it? How many of you have been in that place? Come on, just me and six people. We've all been in that place. Well, Simon was in that place. Maybe you've been serving in an area, running a connect, leading a team, serving in a particular space, doing stuff in just the everyday of your life, the very best that you can, and it feels like you've been fishing all night for no fish. I'm a fisherman. I know what it's like. You don't catch fish every trip. I take my kayak out. It's the same amount of effort and same amount of energy expended, same amount of time I need to set aside, and there's a lot of times my bucket is empty. There's a lot of time and energy used for not much to show for it, and this is what happens in this account here in Luke 5. And Jesus turns up, not while they were fishing. He turns up and watches them finish up, doesn't say anything, and they say, hey, can I have a boat because I want to preach the word? And he watches them wash their boats down. He watches them wash their nets down, unload, unpack, dry it on the racks. And then he says, I want you to launch out into the deep again. What do you do with that? These guys have clocked off for the day. He interrupts their after-work routines. He'd probably interrupted their after-work drinks, these fishermen. And he says, boys, I want you to load up your boats and launch out into the deep again. In fact, he doesn't say launch out into the deep again. He just says launch out into the deep. It's probably fair of us to assume that they were doing a night's fruitless fishing in the shallows. So he's actually sending them out even further. You know what? I don't know about you, but when I clock off for the day, I clock off for the day. There ain't no sending me back to the office. Come on, you know what I'm saying? When you clock off for the day, you've done a good day's work. You're satisfied. These guys had completed, and they were tired. And yet Jesus comes to them and says, I want you to load your boats up and go out into the deep. What do you do with that? I reckon that's why we have selective hearing sometimes when it comes to listening to Jesus. Because we all want to hear, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. In fact, that would have been the very appropriate pastoral thing to say. If you go to Bible college, Pastoral Care 101 is always show empathy to tired people. You go, oh, come here, that's okay, you know. But Jesus would have made a terrible pastor. He would have failed Bible college. Because he looks at the tired fishermen who have clocked off and said, boys, load your boats up, and I'm sending you out again. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? You know, maybe you're here today and the Lord has spoken in your heart to do something, to go again, to reload, to refire, be on mission again. But you're reluctant to do it because you know that it's going to cost you, it's going to inconvenience you, it's going to break you out of that rut, it's going to cause you to step out of the box. You've unpacked, you've unloaded, you got comfortable, you're back on the shore. And Jesus doesn't just ask you to relaunch back into the shallows. He's asking you to go out into the deep. I'm feeling this word particularly strongly for our people in our English-speaking Phnom Penh campus. Maybe you're gathering around that computer, that screen tonight, and you're seeing this, and maybe you know that you've toiled all night, and yet God is asking you to go again. What are you going to do with that? But I want to submit to you tonight that we will never experience the fullness of what Jesus has for us if we allow our feelings of tiredness or disappointment to be greater than the conviction of what He's called us to. We will never experience the fullness of what God has for us if we actually allow the feelings of the disappointment of the past, of the futility of our work and our toil to be greater than the conviction of what He's calling us to. The Bible is full of accounts of God asking men and women to go again after they just clocked off and decided that it's time to settle down and just get comfortable. In the Old Testament, it accounts for a prophet by the name of Samuel. In the Old Testament, God would task the mission of the prophetic mantle over prophets to kind of be the voice of God to support and minister to the kings. Makes sense to you? So Samuel was the prophet at the time of King Saul. And for many years, he journeyed with King Saul. King Saul was the king over Israel, and he was the people's choice. And Samuel would be the voice of God and wisdom to Saul and help him to make decisions and speak into his life. And for many years, Saul ruled over the nation of Israel, but it doesn't end well. If you read the accounts in the book of Samuel, Saul's time as king, he disobeys God towards the end of his life. And God then says, well, Israel deserves better than that. And so Samuel would have carried a lot of disappointment. All those years of serving this king and being the voice of God and being the man of integrity for Saul, and now he sees Saul's reign in decline. He was ready to clock off. He was feeling that sense of disappointment. And yet, this is what the Lord says to him in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, why don't you just chill out and just clock off, Samuel, because you've done your dash. Does he say that? God says, how long will you mourn for Saul? In other words, stop getting over your pity party. I've got a new mission for you. Come on. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided myself a king among his sons. Here is God saying to a disappointed, wearied prophet who's ready to put his horn on the shelf. Prophets were given a horn where they would fill it with oil, and for select times in their prophetic ministry, they would use that oil to anoint people for their next assignment. Makes sense to you? He was ready to put his horn, his empty horn, on the shelf. And God says, fill it with oil again, because I got something to... And what do you do with that? What do you do with the word from God that comes to you to say to you, go again, when you're prepared simply to clock off and just be done? Maybe you're here today and you feel like, God, I've served you. I've done the very best I can for you. And maybe now it's time for me just to chill out and let the next generation take it. Maybe there's a younger prophet out there who can do the thing. Maybe, God, there's someone who's very similar to me, only younger, who's got more energy, who can do this. And yet God is coming to you and he's saying to you, it's time for you to go again because I've got more for you. The question is, what do you do with that? What are you going to do with that? If Samuel had actually said, Lord, nah. Yeah, nah. If it was Aussie, you'd say, yeah, nah. Apparently, if you're South Australian, you'd say, yeah, nah, yeah. But yeah, nah. Nah, I'm done. Then a young shepherd boy who was tending his father's sheep would have never been called into the room. And he never would have been anointed to be king over Israel. And the lineage of Christ would have not been established over Israel. Come on, are you out there? Thank God Samuel filled his horn with oil and did something with what God had asked him to do. Come on, are you out there? It would have been so much better for Samuel to fill his horn with oil and go again than to simply just retire in a retirement village playing cards, complaining about the yogurt. Because God's got so much more for us than we even think. Come on, are you out there? And I believe this is the word of the Lord for some people here today and you guys over there in our Phnom Penh campus. Maybe you've been sitting around mourning what was. Maybe you've toiled. Maybe you've served. Maybe you've given and things haven't worked out. You've cut your losses and said, maybe serving Jesus at that level is not for me. And in your head, you've clocked off. You've docked your boats. You've washed your nets. You've put your horn up on the shelf. But I want you to know, when God speaks to you, and he's asking you the question, what are you going to do with that? My prayer for you is that you'll say, yeah, I'm going to launch again. I'm going to go again. I'm going to do something with what you've spoken in my heart to do. Why would you trade off a life of overflow for chilling out on the shore? Come on, are you out there? If Simon had said, nah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good, thanks, Jesus. That's all good. Maybe you get the younger fisherman to go out this time. I've done my shift. No nets would have been filled. We all want the overflow, but not many of us are willing to launch out in the deep, especially after we've been doing it all night. So many of us, we lodge the prayer request because we want the quick overflow. We want the cheap overflow. That'll preach. Come on. We want the shortcut magic pill overflow, but we're not prepared to load up our boats and go again. Come on, are you out there? We want our nets to be full. I need a resounding amen from you. Come on, are you out there? We want our nets to be full. We want the overflow, but we're not prepared to launch into the deep. Can I drill down a little bit more? I'm going to take you on a journey to the dentist chair tonight. Is that okay? As I began to unpack this passage of scripture, the Lord began to challenge me about me. And I know that as God is speaking to me, that he's going to speak to you as well. These guys, Simon and his mates, James and John, they were career fishermen. They know how to do this stuff. Fishing's been in their blood for generations. They know this patch of ground. I've been toiling all night. I've been a fisherman. I've done 2-3 nights offshore fishing, trying to catch fish. You pull out all the tricks. You burly up. You look at the tide charts. You do everything. Simon would have looked at his chart plotter, his depth echo sound of the whole thing. It was absolutely futile. There was nothing going on, and come the end of long hours of fishing, he decided, I'm done. Career fisherman, knows exactly what to do, and yet it was futile. Along comes a carpenter to give him fishing advice. I want to talk to the dudes in the room. We're all the bros in the room. We're all the fellas. Dudes, you'd have to agree with me, there's nothing worse then another random dude giving you advice about the thing that you know how to do when you know that they've got no idea how to do it. There's nothing worse than that. Come on, how many of you with me? That triggers me, man, big time. You know what I'm saying? Do we have any medical professionals in the room? Doctors or nurses or anyone like that? Just, yeah, fantastic. Does that annoy you Doctor, when someone Googles their symptoms and then comes to see you to tell you what you should prescribe to them, that's got to trigger you. Come on, I'm looking out for you, medical professionals. Do we have any teachers in the house? Do we have any teachers in the house? Where all the teachers holler? Teachers, it must annoy you when parents tell you how to educate their children when you're the trained educators. Come on, I'm looking out for you, teachers. You need to go, yeah, PK, come on. Come on, amen. Come on, where are all the teachers? You guys are the trained educators, and parents tell you, give you the advice on how to educate their kids. Where are all the senior pastors at? Do we have any senior pastors in the house? It must trigger you when people have no idea how to run a church tell you how to run the church. Do we have any senior pastors in the house? Any senior pastors? Good preaching, PK. Thanks for having my back. That's awesome. That's really great. Never thought about it that way. Carpenter says, oi, fellas, load up your boats, pull all your clean nets back into the boat, launch out into the deep. Put that passage up. And the Lord began to speak to me about how I've responded through the years with a, what do I do with that question? That'd be really great right now, the slide, Luke chapter 5, verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch, said the carpenter to the fisherman. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. This has traditionally been my response with what do I do with that? I backchat Jesus. How many of you ever backchatted Jesus? You know, the Lord has spoken to you about something and he said, and you've just essentially said, you have no idea, Jesus, how hard it is. You have no idea what it's like to live my life. You've got absolutely no idea how tough it is right now for me. And how dare you rock up at conference and challenge me to just do stuff for you. What? You have absolutely no idea. I've been at this a really long time. How dare you ask me to forgive again? You'd have no idea what it's like to live with my husband. How dare you? How dare you rock up to conference and challenge me to take that next step in that leadership sphere when I've been so hurt? You have absolutely no idea. How dare you stir in my heart to maybe move to another nation to be part of what God is doing there? When I've got so much insecurity and anxiety, you have no idea what it's like to live. And we have that back chat with Jesus all the time. Simon has that same back chat. Master, we have toiled all night. We got nothing. You have no idea because you're a carpenter. And then he finally relents and says, nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. Is that what Jesus asked him to do? Jesus said, launch your boats into the deep and let down your nets. And yet Simon said, at your word, I'll just let down one net. And this often becomes our response when God has spoken to us. We partially obey. We partially acquiesce. Oh, you guys are real quiet tonight. I'm going to speak to this side because these guys are going, yeah, amen, PK. That's partial obedience often looks exactly like full obedience. You still got to launch the boat out. Looks like we're doing something to appease this carpenter Jesus from Nazareth. We'll give it a go. Partial obedience, it looks just like full obedience, but it's not. The Lord speaks to you about giving $2,000 to building our future. Oh, wait, your word, Lord, I'll give $200. Getting real quiet now. It still looks the same. We still get out of our seat, fill out the envelope, put it in the box, walk back to our seat according to the instructions. It all looks the same. Come on, are you out there? See, God might speak to you about a certain part of your life to confront that issue that's been deeply rooted and say, oh, okay, at your word, Lord, I'll talk about my insecurity. I won't actually talk about my offense. It looks the same. It looks like you're going to talk to your leader, being vulnerable about it. But come on, are you out there? Simon says, at your word, I'll let down the net. Jesus wants you to know that if you are happy with just a partial overflow, you can have it. But he's got so much more for you. The Bible tells it, even with just one net, that net was full to overflowing, that they had to call in a second boat. And both boats started to sink from the weight of the fish. Imagine if they let down all of the nets. I want to submit to you that God never ran out of fish. They just ran out of net because they only put one down. If you want to be happy with a partial healing, that's fine by you. But how many of you know that Jesus has got full healing for your body? And hasn't just got full healing for your body. He wants to heal your whole family, your whole extended family. That family line, you know when the doctors ask you what kind of family sickness history you got? He wants to cut off that bloodline and graft you into the fully healed and whole bloodline of Jesus so that you can then out of overflow bring healing to your whole street if you wanted to. Come on, are you out there? But if you're happy to partially acquiesce and just get a part healing, that's up to you. But I want to be part of a church that says, when the question is posed to us, what do I do with that? We're saying, God, we want to go all the way. We want to put out all the nets. We want to launch out into the deep. I'm not satisfied with just partially obeying God. You know why I think Simon said what he said? At your word, I'll let down the net, is because at times, even though we've heard God, we want to do things on our terms. We still want to do it on our terms. We're measuring our energy levels. We're calculating our time schedules. We're looking at our resource and our finance. We're playing the spreadsheet game. Nothing wrong with spreadsheets. I'm Asian. We live by those things. But we're figuring things out. You know what I'm saying? And he probably would have taken his smallest net because that, if it was a failure and no fish, it would have been less work to wash down. So we're playing that game with God. God's speaking to you about running a connect group. And you know that at Nations Church, we run fortnightly connects. And you say, okay, God, at your word, I'll run a connect. But I want to do it once every 4 weeks because that works for me. And I don't want to use PK's DVD stuff. I want to use my own material because that's... I'm going to talk to this side. Because we want to do it on our terms. Come on, are you out there? The question is, what will you do with what God is speaking to you about doing? I want to be part of a church after conference that does everything that the Lord has spoken in our heart to do. That we don't just allow that word just to be a word that enters into the stratosphere and this gets lost in the atmosphere throughout the year. I want to grab that launch out into the deep, put all your nets downward and do everything that he said to experience the full measure of the overflow that he has for us. Can I drill even a little bit deeper? Pardon the dentistry pun. The account in Luke chapter 5 was also recounted in the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew writes it slightly differently, and he says this at the end of that account. He says this, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Luke 5 said, I will make you catch men. Verse 20, they immediately left their nets and followed him. At that one word, one command, one speaking into their future, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Luke chapter 5 says, from now on, I will make you catch men. Jesus speaks to our future. Come on, are you out there? And it says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Sounds like a very feel-good verse. Like, it's kind of cool that they left their nets and followed him. But you got to understand that the fishing nets to Simon, to James, and to John, it was all that they've known. They've not known life as adults without the familiar touch of that rough rope woven into a fishing net in their hands. And yet, when Jesus said to them and spoke a word into their future, they were faced with the decision, do I hold on to what I've known or do I drop it in order to follow Jesus? I don't know about you, but there is a difference between being a believer and a follower. You can believe Jesus and still hold on to your nets, your familiarities, and all your comforts and all your routines. But I tell you what, if you want to follow Jesus, you got to drop your nets in order to lay hold of what he has for you. I need a resounding amen. I don't know what your nets look like. But maybe that net to you, something that's been in you for a really long time, is so familiar. Is that maybe it's that brokenness. Maybe it's that dysfunction. Maybe it's that issue that you've been holding on to and it's become a part of you. Maybe it's that struggle that you've had for so long that you actually don't know how to do life without it because it occupies so many of your Facebook rants. And it occupies so much of your conversation over coffee with your girlfriends. And if God were to actually take it from you, you would have nothing to talk about. I'm touching a nerve here tonight. Because that's what dentists do. So, what does your net look like? Is it that anger issue that has been in you? It's been in your dad? And your grandfather before him? What's that net? Is it that controlling issue that you see come out and you hate it, but you don't know how to shake it because it's a familiar net. And you hear it in the way that you talk to your kids. And you've seen it in your mother. And you've seen it in your mother's mother. Come on, are you out there? Is it that anxiety, that worries, that addiction, the toxic thinking? Is it that limitation that's been on your life? Is it that bitter root that's been on the inside of you and that you've been holding on to? And it's for 20 years, it's been your net. And yet God is saying, will you follow me by dropping that net and laying a hold of the future? Come on, are you out there? Maybe you're here today and at different times and seasons, at different altar calls, at different seasons where we've talked about being whole, you've partially dropped your net. It looks like you've dropped it. It's dragging on the ground, isn't it, Pastor? But it's time, 2018, to have a from now on moment. That we can be believers and still hold on to the nets of familiarity, or we can say from now on, from post-overflow conference, from now on, this is dividing line for my life. I'm going to get whole and I'm going to follow Jesus and I'm going to ditch that net that is now in my past, and I'm going to cut off maybe generational lines of that way of thinking, that way of limitation, that way of holding me back, that way of responding, that way of stonewalling and emotional discomfort and dysfunction and sulking because that was what I've always done if I didn't get my way. I'm leaving all of that behind in order to lay hold of everything that Jesus has for me. That's what I want to do with that. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? You know, when God speaks to you, often the question of what do I do with that? It's not a question of you needing wisdom on how to do it. You just need courage. God's speaking to you about stepping out or doing something outside of the box. He knows, you know that God is putting his finger on your heart to let something go, have a hard conversation with somebody, to confront an issue in your life. And you're saying, oh God, I need to pray about it too. I need the wisdom on how to do it. Rubbish, you just need to do it. It's not wisdom that we need, it's courage. The Bible says that if you need wisdom, God will give it to you. He who lacks wisdom, James says, he's going to give you wisdom. But there is no biblical evidence of God giving anyone courage. Courage is something you've got to come up with. That's why God said to Joshua, you be strong and courageous. Courage is what you come up with. Wisdom is what he gives you. God speaks to you, Rick. You need to do this. That's the wisdom he's given you. The courage to do it, that's up to you. God is nailing you about dealing with that anger issue. You don't need wisdom on how to deal with it. You just need the courage to go, God, I need you to uproot that thing. I don't want to pass it down to my kids. I don't want to bring it into my marriage. Come on, are you out there? We need the courage. What if Jesus wants to interrupt your comfort today in order to deal with your dysfunction? Because that's what he did with Simon and the boys. What if Jesus wants to disrupt your familiarity in order to deal with your brokenness? Come on. Tonight, what if Jesus wants to intervene in your routine of the same old and your familiar nets in order to confront your issues? What do you do with that? To that, I say, simply let go of that net and be a follower. Go from just being a believer to being a follower. Have a from now on moment. And today, I'm going to do with that which you've spoken into my heart with great courage. I'm going to allow you, Jesus, to journey with me on this. Because at the end of this time, I want to walk out of this being better, more whole, greater, doing greater things than these. Come on, all of that. But I will never experience that full overflow if I'm not prepared to launch out into the deep, fill my horn with oil, and drop my nets. Somebody say amen. Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Come on, stand your feet right across this room. God's so good. God's so good. My time is up. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just stay real still and try and minimize the movement. Jesus happens upon these fishermen going about their daily routine and presents himself to them as divinity in flesh. They could tell immediately something supernatural was going on when they pulled the nets in, so much so that Simon fell to his knees and said, "I'm a sinful man." When you understand the beauty and the mercy of Jesus, that he loves you and invites you into a new life with him, you acknowledge your need of him. Tonight, sir, madam, I don't know where you're at and where your heart is at, but I want to invite you to simply say yes to asking Jesus into your life. Or maybe for the first time after a long time, you know that you need to rededicate your life to him. You're far from God, but you need to know that there's nowhere that you could have gone to that his long arms of grace can't reach you. And tonight he's reaching you. You're here in this room. So with every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask you, tonight you're here. You want to ask Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you of all you've done, to give you a brand new life, or maybe simply just to step back into the family of God, to come home again. Just shoot your hand up so I can see who you are, because I want to pray with you. Is that you tonight? Come on, put your hand up if that's you. You want to say yes to Jesus. Come on, would you come back to him? Is that you? Quickly put your hand up. Come on, sir, madam, young person. Is that you today? Older person. Come on, would you put your hand up? I want to see that hand. Yeah, awesome. Brilliant. I see that hand. Is there anybody else? You want to say yes to Jesus? I see a second hand there. Fantastic. Two hands. Is there anybody else? You want to say yes to Jesus? God loves you so much. Don't you leave church tonight without making this decision. Is that you? Come on, put your hand up. I want to pray with you. Jesus is going to come and change your life like he has with so many other people. I see a third hand over there on my left, your right-hand side. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Come on, if you've put your hand up tonight, I want you to do something real brave and come and meet me down at the front here. Come on, as the church begins to... Matt Hennigan, Pastor Matt, could you come out the front with me as well? Come on, let's meet. Come up here. Guys, we're going to pray with you, and you can repeat this prayer after me. I'm actually going to get Pastor Matt to say this prayer. He's going to lead you in what we call the prayer for salvation. Okay, so this is a safe place for us as a church. So we're a church family, amen? So we're going to repeat this prayer together. Come on, thanks, Matt.
Awesome. Why don't we say this together? Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That you've chosen me.
You've chosen me.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
That you died for me.
You died for me.
And right now.
Right now.
I open my heart.
I open my heart.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I surrender.
I surrender.
And I say I'm yours.
And I say I'm yours.
Come live in me. Take control of my mind, of my will, of everything, and I'll live for you for eternity. I love you, God, and I thank you, God, for making all things new in me this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, we give the eyes a clap.
Awesome. These guys are going to take you, give you a Bible, and pray with you. Love you guys. Well done. They're going to look after you. Fantastic. Can we give these guys such a courageous decision tonight? Never let these moments get old, amen. Why don't you close your eyes right across this room? His presence is here. I don't know where you're at tonight, Christian, but there are two groups of people I feel so strongly that God wants to minister to by his grace and his love. And responding to this message, I'm not asking you to respond to me. I don't really care whether you do or not. That's between you and God. It's not. I'm not asking you to do this for my ego. It's God loves you and he wants to speak to you. But it might feel a little bit like having to buckle down in that dentist chair. For me, it was 17 years of build-up. And in preparing this message, God started to poke in areas in my own life of nets that I've been holding on to. But there's two groups of people, and the first group here is that God has asked you to launch into the deep. And you've clocked off. You've said, God, I've done my dash. It's been a long, hard road, and I don't know if I can go again. And maybe you're carrying hurts and disappointments from that season of expending a lot of energy for not much to show for it, and it's asking you to fill your horn with oil and go again. Thank God Samuel went again. Or the young shepherd boy David would have never been anointed. Maybe God would have had to choose somebody else to do it. But thank God Samuel filled his horn with oil and went again. You are not too old, too used, too done for God to ask you to fill your horn with oil again. And tonight, if that's you, you need to respond, because there's grace here to go again, to launch, to load up your boats again, to go where the overflow is coming, the second group. Jesus is coming after your nets. And he's asking you to have a from now on moment. And the internal struggle for you is that Jesus has come to disrupt what's been comfortable and familiar to you, to make you confront those dysfunctions, that brokenness. You've been cynical a real long time, maybe. You're suffering with that depression, that anxiety, that stuff that you've been holding on to. The stuff in your life tonight that Jesus is saying, will you have a from now on moment? You can feel free to be a believer and not a follower, but you can truly be a believer and a follower by dropping your nets tonight. I've said all I needed to say. From this moment on, it's just between you and God and your response. Step out of your seat if that's you. Come on, as the band begins to play. No one looking around, you just do business with God.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.